So happy Mother's Day to all your mothers, and men, make sure you call the mothers today. Amen? You owe her, is what the video said. So, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, Deuteronomy 6. And today we celebrate Mother's Day, and we're going to talk more about parenting than we are just about talking about mothers and the roles of the parents in the life of the children, and how we can raise godly kids according to the Word of God. And Deuteronomy chapter number 6, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. If you'll stand out of respect for the Word of God this morning. The Bible says, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all His statutes and His commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Father, we love you so much, Lord. We thank you for the honor and the privilege it is to raise kids. And Father, even some having or being willing to raise grandkids as well. Father, we pray today that you would enlighten us by your word, Lord. That God, we would gain wisdom and glean wisdom from the word of God and how we can best raise our kids and grandkids. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory and praise. And all of you said, amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Today we celebrate Mother's Day, and I was looking at some of the views that children have about moms. Kind of goes along with the video we just heard, but these are what elementary grade children thought about their moms. So the question was asked, why do we have mothers? And the little girl said this: she's the only one who knows where the Scotch tape is. And second, why do we have mothers? Mostly to clean the house. And all the ladies said, amen. Why do you have your mother and not some mother, mother? Why do you have your mother and not some other mom? Well, she says, we're related. Second one, the doctor knew she likes me a lot more than other people's moms like me. What kind of little girl was your mom? And this one says, I don't know because I wasn't there, but my guess was she would be pretty bossy. What did mom need to know about your dad before she married him? The first one says his last name. The second one says she had to know his background, like was he a crook or does he get drunk on beer? And then the third one said, this is what mom needed to know about dad. Does he make at least $800 a year, and did he say no to drugs and yes to chores? So here's the final question. This one's for all the ladies in the house. Who's the boss at your house? And this is what the kids said. Mom doesn't want to be boss, but she has to because dad's such a goofball. And my children said, amen. Second, mom's the boss. You can tell by room inspection. She sees all the stuff under the bed. And then the third one said, my mom's the boss at our house because I guess mom, but only because she has a lot more to do than my dad. That's why moms are special. We honor all the moms today, but today we're not just going to talk to mothers. Often on Mother's Day, we talk about how moms can be better moms or ladies can be better ladies. But I want to talk to both men and women this morning about how we can raise godly children. We've been in a series called Wisdom for Living from the book of Proverbs, and we conclude today with the topic of parenting. How can we raise our children in a godly way? You know, today in society, there's a lot of different things competing against our children's time and our children's affection and learning. The most important person in the life of the child is the parent, the mom or dad. And the reason that is because they are impressionable and you have the majority of time to shape your kids, to shape them into what God desires for them to be. You see, the family is the most important institution in all of the nation. And as the family goes, so often does the nation go. That if families are strong and healthy, then often the nation has a core group within the nation that is strong and healthy as well. But the fact is that families are often torn. And we often look to the church to help us raise our kids. Can I tell you that the most important person, most important part of your kid's life is not just church, but outside of church. It's said in statistics that only 1% of your child's time will be spent at a church. 83% will be spent at home. 16% of your child's time will be at the school. So who has the majority of time to shape your kids? You do. You and I have the privilege to raise kids. God gave those to us as a blessing, and it's what we do with them that really matters, that we are meant to teach our children the ways of the Lord. And that's what this scripture verse is about. This text is about training up our kids in the way that they should go, teaching them the ways of the Word of God. And that's what our children need to have instilled in their lives. It is so important. As much as they need to learn how to play baseball and play football and to have all the other things in life, it's more important that they understand and know the Word of God. All of those other things are great. All those other things are fine for their life. But the most important part of their life is right here in the book. And as parents, we have the responsibility to teach our kids according to the Word of God. Look what it says in verse number 4. There's two things we're going to look at this morning. The first one has to do with your life and then leading by example, loving your God. Verse number 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. If we are going to raise godly kids, it begins with you and I loving God ourselves. Having a passion for God, loving God with everything that we have in our life, that if we love God, then it will pass down to our kids. That if what our kids need to see is an example in the house is not just us sending them to church, but them understanding within the household that we actually love God. And that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Statistics show about kids who become active Christ followers when they become adults. 72% of kids would become Christ followers as adults if both mom and dad went to church with them. 72%. If only mom goes to church, listen to this, men. If only mom goes to church, 15% of kids will become Christ followers as adults. If only the dad goes to church, 55% of kids will become Christ followers as adults. It's a big difference, isn't it? See, the dad, if he would take the kids to church, he could help shape them even greater than the mother. And if neither mom or dad go to church, there's only a 6% chance that your kid will go to church whenever they grow up. You see, friends, I don't know about you, but I really believe that church is important. I believe it's important for the family. I believe it's important for the parents to raise their kids in the church. And friends, let me just tell you this. If we will take charge of this and love God with all that we have in our life, if we will love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, then our children will follow in our paths. It doesn't mean they'll never stray. It just means that we give them an example to live by. So there's three things real quickly that you need to do if you're going to love God. First, you need to love God with all your heart. Love God with all your heart. The heart is considered the seat of our actions. And out of our heart flows all of our actions. If we love God, that means that our characteristics, our character traits flow out of our heart. If we love God with all of our heart, then God has charge of our heart. And we will be an example to our kids in the way that we live. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if we have our heart right with God and we are living with love for God in our heart, then what comes out of our mouth towards our children and toward our spouses will reflect God more often if we love God. Now, kids, understand your mom and dad aren't perfect either. They're only human and they mess up sometimes. But whenever they love God, they follow God. And even when they mess up, I can guarantee when they mess up, they go to God for prayer and ask Him to forgive them. But listen, church. We have to first love God with all of our heart. What that means to us is that He has every part of our heart. You know, when we parent, our kids have a part of our heart, our spouses have a part of our heart, other things have a part of our heart, but a whole heart needs to go to God. That Jesus Christ is the center of our life, and we need to allow Him to have complete control of our life. And that means whenever we love Him with all of our heart, we give them an example to follow. We are able to lead them by example, which we'll talk about in just a few moments. I was reading a poem about a kid who looks up to his dad. And listen to this. It says, "A teardrop crept into my eye as I knelt on bended knee next to a gold-haired tiny lad whose age was just past 3. He prayed with such simplicity, 'Please make me big and strong. Just like Daddy, don't you see? Watch over me all night long. Jesus, make me tall and brave like my Daddy next to me.' This simple prayer he prayed tonight filled my heart with humility. As I heard his voice so wee and small offer his prayer to God, I thought these little footsteps someday my path may trod. O Lord, as I turn my eyes above in guidance I ask of Thee, keep my walk ever so straight for the little feet that follow me. Buoy me when I stumble and lift me when I fell. Guard this tiny bit of boy as he travels down life's trail. Make me what he thinks I am is my humble, gracious plea. Help me ever be the man this small lad sees in me." We need men and women. We need to be a godly example for our kids. And the second one is to love God with all of your soul. To love God with all your soul. The heart is about how you live, the characteristics. And then he talks about the soul. Love God with all of your soul. It describes passions. The passions that we have for God. Whenever he says to love God with all your soul, it means first that you make a commitment to serve Jesus Christ. That you receive Christ into your heart and you live for him. And you decide, I'm going to follow Christ all the days of my life. And whenever we as parents make that decision to follow Christ, it's a lot easier for our children to follow Christ as well. To love God with all of our soul means that our passions are consumed by the things of God. Here in Deuteronomy, the writer describes how the parent would teach the kids, and as they would be going along the way, that he would teach them. The parent would teach them as they were doing work. He would teach them as they were staying in their house. He would teach them. The parents would teach these kids because they were consumed with God. Their passion was for God and for the Word of God. And if we're going to shape our children, then we need to have a passion for His Word and for Him. Church, we need to have a passion for God. Then the third one. Then we'll get to leading your family. To love God with all your strength. To love God with all your strength. I've been pastoring for 14 years now, and I see a trend within the body of Christ, within the church, that when the parents are faithful to church and when the parents are serving in the church, when I say serving, I mean ministry-wise. They are ministering in the church, doing Sunday teaching, Sunday school, missionettes, Royal Rangers, whatever. That whenever the kids are growing up, guess what the kids learn to do? They learn to minister and serve in the church. Why? Because they've seen their parents serve God with all their strength. It's easy to come every Sunday morning. It's easy to come to church. But friends, our kids need to not only see us go to church, but they need to see us working for the things of God, working for the Lord, teaching and ministering to others. They need to see us praying. They need to see us reading the Bible. They need to see us talking to others about Jesus Christ. How else will our children know unless we lead them with all of our heart? And that brings us to the next part of this passage of leading your family. And then we're going to go to the book of Proverbs, where we've been spending most of our Sunday mornings recently. Look at verse number 6 here. "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of their house and on your gates." Notice what he talks about here. He talks about them teaching the Word of God to their kids. Parents, I just tell you this, that we need to study the Word of God so we can learn it and so we can tell our kids about it. Then when we go home from church, let me just kind of give you a hint. If you bring your kids to church, go home from church and ask them what they learned that day. Discuss what they've been learning in all their Sunday school classes. Share with them what you've been learning in your daily reading time and in devotional time. Share with your kids what God is doing in your life. And I guarantee your kids will have an understanding of how to grow and follow Christ. The Bible says to train up our child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he shall not turn from it. The word train means to initiate, to dedicate, or to train. We need to take initiative in our kids' life and train them. Susanna Wesley had 17 children. Everybody say, oh mercy. 17 children. That's a lot of kids. Amen? I wasn't called to that kind of ministry. Out of those kids, she was a very godly woman. It said that throughout the week, every week, she would spend at least 1 hour praying for each of her 17 children every week. It's also said that out of that week, she would take 1 hour with each child to pray for them, to instruct them in God's word, and to teach them the things of God. And these are her wisdom, her thoughts of wisdom on raising kids. She says, subdue self-will in a child and thus work together with God to save his soul. She says, to teach him to pray as soon as he can speak. Give him nothing he cries for and only what is good for him and if he asks for it politely. To prevent lying, punish no fault which is freely confessed, but never allow a rebellious, sinful act to go unnoticed. Commend and reward good behavior. And last, she says, strictly observe all promises you have made to your child. Friends, we have this charge to us to train our kids and to teach them in the ways of God. And according to the book of Proverbs, you'll turn to Proverbs 4 real quickly with me. Proverbs 4. I'm going to show you 6 ways real quickly that we can train up our children. And we must train our kids to watch their words. To watch the words. How they speak to you and speak to others. We need to train them in those ways. Proverbs 4. Let me just mention to you in Proverbs over and over, as Solomon writes, the other writers write, they use these phrases, my son, don't forget my commands, my son this, my son that. And what it is all the book of Proverbs is a teaching on how to live. And so whenever Solomon is writing these things, he's really writing these to his kids. Now, I mean, I don't want to take this too long on this, but if somebody knew about kids, it was Solomon. Solomon had 700 wives. I thought about if he only had one kid with each wife, that's 700 kids. You think he could teach some kids something? Besides being crazy, amen? Verse number 24, he says, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Go to verse number 20. I'm going to show you this. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Put that together with verse 24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Here's an admonition by Solomon to his son. Not exactly sure which son it is he's speaking to, but he is talking to his son. Listen, son, you need to make sure you put away a deceitful mouth and a perverse lip. As parents, we have to shape our children young in the way that they talk, in the way they say things, whether they make fun of others, way they disrespect mom or dad, whether they disrespect other people. We need to make sure that we get a handle on that at an early age. You see, friends, it's imperative for us, because in our society today, there's a lack of respect for authority. Am I right? And I believe that if we as parents would handle it at home and start taking care of our kids and saying, okay, you're not going to get away with this if you speak this way to me or your mother or to any other adult. We need to make sure that we are teaching them to watch their words. We need to encourage our kids not to make fun of other kids. We need to teach our kids to be respectful to every adult, to say, God forbid this. Yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Yes, sir, and no, sir. Just be respectful. Not only just to you, but to everyone who is their elder. Can I get an amen right there, parents? Amen. The second way that you need to train your kid is to train them to be responsible. Train them to be responsible. Chapter number 6, Proverbs 6, verse 6-3. It's maybe on your handout. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Friends, we need to teach our kids to be responsible. And when I say responsible, meaning that they take care of them, I'm not talking about taking care of themselves, but they become people of their word and that they follow through on actions. Because one day, they're going to go to work. And when they go to work, do you want them to be responsible so they can keep a job or irresponsible to lose a job? You want to be responsible. And so it begins in the home, that we teach our kids to be responsible in the home. Charles Swindoll was talking to a group of parents, and he talked about how a child could become a delinquent. And he said, if you want to train your child to become a delinquent, here's some ways to do it. Number one, when your kid is still an infant, give him everything he wants. This way, he'll think the world owes him a living when he grows up. Second, avoid using the word wrong. It will give your child a guilt complex. You can condition him to believe later when he's arrested for stealing a car that society is against him and he's being persecuted. Number three, pick up after him. Here's for you ladies. Pick up after him. His books, his clothes, his shoes, do everything for him so he will be experienced through throwing all responsibility on others. Do everything for him so he'll be experienced throwing all responsibility onto others. Let me bring this home to you, ladies. That's how I tell Sonny. Sonny takes very good care of Josh. And I just tell her, Sonny, you need to let him do something because he'll never be able to find a wife. He'll never find one as good as his mother. Amen. Four, give your child all the spending money he wants. Don't make him earn his own. Why should he have things as tough as you did? Number five, take his side against neighbors, teachers, and policemen. They're all against them. What I'm saying for us as parents is every parent, we need to live with grace towards our kids. But we also need to train them to be responsible adults, to take action when they need to take action, to repent when they need to repent, to make sure that they are doing what is right and pleasing not only to their parents but to God. Third, train them to guard their minds. Look at chapter 23. I think it's on your hand. Chapter 23, verse number 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. We need to train our children to guard their minds. Church, we live in a day where our kids are bombarded with everything. If you are bombarded with stuff, your kids are being bombarded with stuff. When they go to school, they are bombarded with temptation. They can be overwhelmed with the temptation and the things of this world. And we need to teach our kids at home to safeguard their minds and their heart. We need to make sure that we have a handle on what our kids are viewing and doing. Y'all stay with me, parents. Teenagers, I'm sorry. Parents, it's okay for you to check what they do on the internet, on Facebook, whatever they do in their rooms, whatever they have in their room, whatever's going on. If you see signs in their life, you need to take charge and the warning signs before it gets too bad. We need to train our kids to guard their minds and say, look, if it's not pleasing to God, you need to make sure that doesn't enter your mind as best as possible. This is something that we've gone away from as parents. The reason why is because we feel like we have to buddy up to our kids and think that we are their best friend and not their parent. But friends, we have to make sure we are safeguarding them in their lives. You can't protect them from everything. You can't shield them from everything. But if they are in your home, you do the best you can while they are in that home. That means what goes on that television, even when you're watching it, that it doesn't tempt our kids. Our kids need all the help they can get, and it begins with mom and dad. If we can get into their lives and say, you know what, it's okay to be holy. It's okay not to put all this garbage in your mind. It's okay to be different than other kids. It's okay if you're not like everybody else. Train them to guard their minds in such a sensual society. I read a public school survey that came out of Maryland, and it showed that parents of children spent an average of 15 minutes per week in meaningful dialogue with their kids. 15 minutes a week of meaningful dialogue with kids. What that means is a undivided attention to the kids in a conversation. How much could you pick up from your kid's life? How much can I pick up from my kid's life whenever I engage in a conversation with them in depth where they know they have all of my attention and all of your attention? Friends, if we take time with them, we can see the warning signs in their life before they ever fall off the wagon. Number four. Everybody still with me?
Amen.
Some of you have already raised all of your kids. Hope all this stuff is right. You guys have already, paid the price. We appreciate y'all. I'm still raising kids. And this is, I'm learning along the way. Four, train them to carefully choose their friends. Y'all hear that? Train them to carefully choose their friends. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. We must make sure that our kids choose their friends carefully. Growing up, I always seemed to pick the wrong friends. Anybody like that? In my seventh grade year, I was grounded for 7 months. 7 months. My dad's here. He can testify to this. 7 months. I was grounded my seventh grade year. It was like being, I was locked up. I was grounded on my birthday. And this is the reason why. Because number one, because I sinned. I was wrong. I was bad. It wasn't my dad's fault. Because he's here. I had to say all that. But I had a friend that I hung around with all the time. And every time I was around this friend, trouble began to brew. He liked to get into mischief because whenever he went home, he never got in trouble at home. And then whenever I come home in trouble, guess what? I got in trouble at home. My dad was from the school that if you got trouble at school, you got trouble at home. And me and this friend, we would get in trouble all the time. I mean, we were always in trouble. And I found out after that year of school that if you just get rid of a friend that's a bad influence, life goes a lot better. And I never had a year like that again. You see, friends, I think for parents, we want to give all of our kids the benefit of doubt. But have anybody ever heard of a mother's intuition? Mothers can pick stuff up. Mothers pick up stuff in their kids' friends. Dads pick up stuff in the girls' boyfriends, right? You need to listen to your parents, kids. Sometimes they see things that you don't see. Fifth, we need to train our kids to manage God's money. Manage God's money. Number three, Proverbs 3, verse number 9. We read this, I think it was last week. But we need to teach our kids early on how to handle God's money. And not only that, we need to display how to handle God's money. We need to model this for our kids. If you have made mistakes in your finances at home, and you're not handling God's money, but you're trying to do better, and you're on the road to recovery, it's a good thing to teach your kids that, hey, mom and dad messed up, and this is where you need to stay away from whenever you get older and when you handle your money. But Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 9 tells us how to handle God's money. Notice what he says in verse number 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. The first thing that a parent can teach their kid when their kid begins to make money and earn money is teach your kids to tithe. I'm not saying that because I'm a preacher. I'm saying that because our kids need to understand the most immediate obedience to God. That whenever they get, when they get a buck, they pay tithes, 10 cents tithe. That they get $2, 20 cents, whatever it is. Whenever they get birthday money, we've taught Josh, when you get birthday money, you give tithe off of that. And the reason why is because whenever Josh grows up as an adult and he's been trained already what to do with God's money. Because friends, everything that you and I own, it's all God. That's what the Bible says. And we need to learn that principle of 10% to give God. And this is the reason why. Look what he says in verse number 10. The blessings that come. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Don't you want your kids to prosper? Don't you want your kids to be blessed and understand how to handle money? I don't want to see my kids go through the struggles that I've had to go through in life. I want them to learn and move on and learn how to handle God's money and to be blessed. Last thing, train them to fear God. Train them to fear God. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The most important thing we can teach our kids above all the other things The most important thing is to fear God. Because I believe if we fear God, all the other things fall into place. If our kids learn to fear God at an early age, they believe God, they love God, that you love God, they fear God in a sense of respecting and having an awe for God and having a relationship with Jesus Christ, then as they grow up, they begin to do what's right more often because they have a heart for God already. It doesn't mean that they're never going to fail. It just means that they have an understanding of what's right and where to go with their life. I want to challenge you parents that we take more opportunity to teach our kids. You know, we live in a busy society, and often, you know, families are scattered, especially when the kids get in the teenage years, that families get a little more scattered, and we don't always have family meals together. But I want to encourage you, at least have a couple family meals a week. We all sit around the table, and you discuss not only their day, discuss what God is doing in your life, discuss the things of God. Share with them what God means to you. And whenever we do these things in our life, church, I just want to encourage you. You know, if you do these things, you're going to find that God is going to work in your family. And God is going to keep you and your children. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. You are the perfect example of what a parent should be. That you're a good father. That you love us and you have given us grace and mercy for our lives. And Father, we need to learn in our lives how to be godly parents. It's not easy to raise kids in the 21st century. God, there's so many challenges to that. God, so many voices that speak to us to do it this way or to do it that way. Lord, we want to hear what your voice says and to follow according to your word. And so, Lord, I just ask you this morning that you would move in our lives. Change us. Change our families. Help us in all of our ways. In Jesus' name.